voices. Unedited, uncut, unfiltered, unflappable. Bringing you glory to the green. Representing One Nation. Mean Green Nation. It's time for the Mean Green Nation podcast.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast. It's your friends, Adam and Greg. How you doing, Mr. Greg Godecker?
Sluggish, like a wet sponge. It's raining pretty good up here in North Texas.
All right, so he told me not to give, to actually put him on the internet, because he's afraid of it. But I want to give a little shout-out to somebody we both know, Mr. Kagan, because he pointed out that you can't listen to our show for some reason using Android, Chrome, and you click the link using the FeedBurner link. And I know some people gave me some feedback saying, hey, what's up with this? It's not working. So shout-out to Mr. Kagan, even though he doesn't want to be on the internet.
Oh, that's okay, Bullhead. It's okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we got full slate, so we're gonna get right to it. We got Marshall. We got Marshall talk. We play them. I don't know if you guys noticed. We have a football game to prepare for. Play Marshall. We're gonna talk a little bit of UNT soccer. We got an interview. We're actually talking to some people out here, ladies and gentlemen. Molly Grisham is a pre-recorded interview, so it's not live. She's not here in studio with us. She's not on the phone with us, unfortunately. When you talk to a current student, you got to jump through a bunch of hoops. So I had a conversation with her right after practice. So it's kind of hurried. Well, we got it recorded. And we got it for you. We're going to talk a little bit about this banner thing, the big news in Mean Green Nation dumb. And a little bit about the new coach, and of course basketball, because right now, as we speak, they're having that Mean Green Madness thing going on. So let's jump right into it. Marshall, Mr. Godecker, they got a good defense. I think it's going to be a good measuring stick for Mr. DeMarcus Smith. Can he be efficient? Can he complete better than 50% of his passes? And can we defend them? I mean, they're not a really explosive team. Can we defend them? What do you think?
I don't think we really can defend him. I think the problem with Marshall is some of the guys on the Gomi and Green alluded to it. They're a very physical team. They've kind of changed over time. You know, they don't have Rakeem Cato. They don't have a lot of the high-powered offensive weapons that they have. They're kind of more of an efficient team. They had Birdsong was their quarterback. I'd hope he'd be the quarterback for this game, just to, you know, Michael Birdsong. But they're going with the freshman, Chase Litton, I believe it is. He took over after the second game, and he's been really efficient. 11 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Being a game manager, because when you have a guy like Devin Johnson in the backfield, it's kind of all you need. But then you get to Devin Johnson, and he's been banged up. He only had 3 carries last game, but they still ran for over 347 yards against what a lot of people thought was a good FAU defense. So obviously their physical nature, being able to run the ball downhill, that doesn't bode for us, because we can't stop the run. If I'm Chris Kosh in this game, load the box, you know, go with some press coverages, make the freshman quarterback beat you over the top. I mean, if he does beat you over the top, good, great, you know, shake his hand, say, hey, you beat us, but don't give, you know, take away what they do well. And if they are able to beat you in other ways, then you just have to tip the cap to them and say, hey, you know, we gave it our best effort. But do everything we can to try and stop Marshall's rushing attack, and that's our only chance.
Yeah, the thing is about the Russian game is that they haven't really been explosive. They ran for a lot of yards, but it's not like a lot of, like, big chunks of it. They're not, like, averaging, like, 8 yards a carry rushing. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a good measuring stick, because they're so tough defensively and because their offense, like you said, is not so explosive. It's not the Marshall of Rakeem Cato, where they're averaging 42 a game. They're averaging, what, like 31 points a game, I think it is, and only like 4.6 yards a play compared to, like, they're allowing, like, less than 4. It's like 3.97, so it's right about 4. They're a good defense. Why is that important? Like, what does it matter if they can't score? Well, I don't, you know, against Western Kentucky, they are so explosive that we make one mistake. You know, as you saw, like we do an interception, they score a touchdown. And, you know, we're down 20, and we pretty much have to get out of, you know, get off schedule. We can't run the ball. We can't really be patient. We have to, like, hurry up and score. So it's, I think it's going to be, well, I hope, the hope is that the deficit, if there is one, won't be so dramatic. You know, it's going to be maybe 10 points. We can work with 10 points. We can still run our offense. We don't have to worry about a team just walking down the field. Hopefully. Hopefully. Again, you know, this is what I'm hoping here. And it's, you know, like you said, it all depends on our defense. It's like Chris Kosh, who's, I don't know if he's come under fire externally, but definitely within the fan base, we're questioning his, you know, his resume here. I mean, he hasn't, he doesn't have like the highest praise among, you know, his previous, like, stops. And you look at some of their message boards and things, they're like, Chris Kosh was kind of awful while he was here. I don't know. This, that, and the other. I think the only people praising him now are, like, I think was Kenny Byers. Like, oh, he's a really good guy. You really good. Should knock him. Same defensive scheme, et cetera. So, okay, man. Should we give him the benefit of the doubt? But you look at the stats. We're getting blown off the ball. We're allowing all the points. We're allowing all the yards. A couple 600-yard games. A couple of 60-point games. A 55-point game thrown in there, you know, just for funsies. Can they stop that rushing attack? Is it going to be... Are we going to, like, kind of keep Marshall within their average, or are we going to let them, you know, this is where they pad their stats, and, you know, now they start looking like an explosive offense?
See, you know, and that's the thing, because Portland State really wasn't looking like an explosive offense. You know, they were kind of what Marshall is, a grinded-out type of offense, and then they came in and, you know, lit the world on fire. Obviously, there were some different circumstances that... you know, made that game worse than it was. Obviously, my tweet about Dan McCartney, you know, that just blew that whole game out of proportion right there. But
you let the team down.
You know, I let them down. But now, you know, so this game kind of gives me that feel. And you talked about the line of scrimmage, our defensive linemen. That was one area where I thought we'd be better this year. I thought Kevin Patrick is a good coach. I thought we had some young guys that were starting to, you know, maybe going to step up. A Roderick Young, you know, Sir Calvin. We had some depth there. We had some size, but it's just not getting done. I mean, if we're losing at the line of scrimmage, it's making everybody behind them, you know, worse than they already are. You know, the secondary was going to struggle. The linebackers were going to struggle at times. But the linebackers can't make plays if they've got offensive linemen on them. They need some help from the defensive linemen to clog it up. And the defensive linemen, they got to get off some blocks. Because you just watch, you know, the play, you know, develop, especially like against Western Kentucky. And our guys are just, I mean, it's a red guy on a green guy, and there's no separation. There's no guys getting penetration in the backfield. And when that happens, that really exposes your defense.
I mean, football really is a simple game, right? And it really does all start on that line, those four or five guys. If you can't control that, if your front seven can't control the play, I mean, they can do whatever they want, you know? Because then that means everybody has to creep up, and then you can do a little play action and throw it over the top on you. I mean, it's great. We want to applaud Keyshawn McClain for making all the tackles, but your safety should not be your leading tackler. It should be a middle linebacker. You know, somewhere, yeah, it should be a linebacker, definitely. Either creeping up, make plays, or stopping him within 4 or 7 yards. What's up?
I've thought Scott has played all the times. I've thought Anthony Wallace, when he's allowed some room to roam, I thought he's made a few plays in the backfield. So, man, the defensive line, they just got to pick it up. They got to find something. Chris Kosh, you got to try something different at this point. I mean, what do you have to lose? You don't have anything to lose. You're giving up touchdowns every other play anyway. So, you know, just throw the book at them, whatever. You know, draw a play up in the dirt, you know, go down on the sideline. I don't know. Do something different than you have been, because it doesn't work.
Now, it is a little... I mean, you know, you got to say, all right, well, why are they not blitzing anymore? I think the concern is because we have young corners or inexperienced corners. Maybe, like, they have experience but not at corner, like Jamal Marshall, obviously. And we've had injuries. So maybe, Cedric Fernandez hurt, Kenny Byers hurt, running out, Zach Whitfield again. Now we got Ashton Preston out there, and then the Brooks kid. A lot of young guys out there. So, you know, they're like, well, they're going to get beat. We got to give them some protection. But that, you know, like you said, they ain't working. Hasn't been working. So thing to do now is to try something different. Bring some pressure. Make it a little simpler.
Exactly. If they're going to get beat, okay, your defensive line has to step up. If the secondary can't cover as long, they got to have help getting pressure on the quarterback so they don't have to cover as long. Okay, well, now the defensive line, they're not getting any pressure. So you have to blitz. You have to. That's really the only thing that's left to do. Yeah, we might get exposed in the back in a few plays, but maybe, you know, we force quarterbacks to make a mistake. We're facing a young guy, Marshall. He's been very efficient, but still, throw blitzes at him. Make him uncomfortable. Any way to just change something up is what I think they need to do this weekend.
Yeah, I totally agree there. Now, if we can't stop them, then it doesn't matter what our offense does. Not really, because I don't think we are a good enough offense, even if DeMarcus Smith has a full grasp of this offense to go score for score with anybody in Conference USA. But hey, here's the thing: he threw 4 touchdown passes, and I know 2 of those were kind of in garbage time. But we've had a lot of garbage time leading up to this point, and nobody's thrown 4 touchdown passes in that, you know? So that's, you know, it's 4 touchdown passes is 4 touchdown passes, which is to say it's pretty damn good. So he threw 4 touchdown passes, first one to do so since Riley Dodge, also under Canales, his teachings. Apparently, they came out in the paper today that, he kind of got his act together after the coach gave him a little, you got to get your stuff together, man. You got to study. Blew up at him. Coach Canales talking in third person, you know, extra hard at him. You're going to come here and talk to Coach Canales like that? Well, you got to show Coach Canales something better than that. It's like, is there somebody else in here? I don't know. That's so weird. I can't imagine how anybody can do that. That's funny. I get a kick out of that. I forgot about that. So he had that. I was saying, we got to go. I said this on the last podcast after the West Kentucky game. I'd like to see, you know, the offense designed around Jeffrey Wilson dives, DeMarcus Smith keepers to the outside. We can use his speed. And, you know, deep passes as the play action off of that, as a constraint plays off of that. Let's send Darvin Kinsey deep. Let's send Tego Reed deep. We know he can jump up and catch it. He already displayed that, his first touchdown reception. And then we got our catch everything, Carlos Harris. I think that's a solid offense to build around. And I say that, make that distinction, dives, keepers, because I don't like DeMarcus. I don't like any quarterback running keepers up the middle. I think that's kind of how you cause all kinds of trouble. And I think DeMarcus Smith is better kind of on the outside, making a run, like if he's keeping it running, throwing it deep. But that's just me. What are your thoughts on DeMarcus Smith, our style of offense, and what should we expect against a very good Marshall defense?
One thing looking over at the Marshall stats is so far this year, their defense, their pass defense, that's been the stellar part of their defense. They're giving up, you know, a quarterback rating of less than 100, they're giving up like 46% completion percentage. That's pretty stout. When you take a guy like Nick Mullins, who destroyed us, who's destroyed a lot of people, played well, he only hits 50% of his passes. And, you know, they kind of blew Southern Miss out of the water. Their defense held Southern Miss to only 10 points. So obviously the Marshall defense is going to be one of the better ones that we face in Conference USA. We faced a pretty good one in Western Kentucky, but this is a little bit different than the Western Kentucky defense. This is more fundamentally sound defense. This is more, you know, physical defense. So what I'm hoping to see is a lot of the same things that you said out of DeMarcus Smith and the offense. You know, I want to see him, you know, push the ball down the field. Because he has the arm to do that. You know, I want to see more Jeffrey Wilson. I think the offense really needs to, you know, it has to be Jeff. He has to be the centerpiece is what I'm trying to say. I know he only had 13 carries, you know, last week against Western Kentucky. And obviously we're behind, but he's got to be the focal point. He was averaging like 7 yards a carry. He needs to have 20 plus carries. You got to find ways to get Willie Ivory involved as well. I'd like to see both those guys on the field at the same time, because I think they're two different types of backs that, you know, the defense has to honor. Ivory doing something different and Wilson doing something different. I mean, a dive play to Wilson, and then off of that, then you can run a little option play where you fake the dive and then you're optioning to Willie Ivory. Just different things that we can do now because we have a mobile athletic quarterback in DeMarcus Smith. So again, focus on the run and hit the deep passes like you said. So that's going to be difficult for him to get over 50% completion percentage in this game if that's what our offense is trying to be.
Yeah, and I don't need to see dink and dunk down the field. I don't really think, like I said, I don't think we have that kind of efficient offense where we can go 12 plays down the field. I think our scoring drives will be 6-7 plays where we hit like a big 40-yarder somewhere down the way. And I take that. I'll take that all day. You know what I mean? As long as we could do that, big chunks of yardage. That's where I think we – I mean, was it Jeffrey Wilson had a couple 20-yarders, I think. I mean, let's not forget about Antoine Jimerson. He can break them. And, again, it's like you said, let's feed our best players. That's Jeffrey Wilson. That's Antoine Jimerson. That's Willie Ivory. That's DeMarcus Smith. You kind of put them all there together, the defense can't focus on any one of those, and it makes everybody a little bit more dangerous. So, yeah, definitely.
It's going to be interesting to watch Marshall and how they attack, you know, defending DeMarcus Smith. Because now they've seen a week of him on film. They know he's very athletic. So they're going to want to try and keep him in the pocket. They're obviously going to try and take away his running ability on the read option type of stuff. So it should open up options other places. But how does he react trying to stay in the pocket? Because I guarantee you Marshall's going to send a lot of edge blitzes off, you know, the corners, things that he's not going to be able to see, you know, his peripherals, things like that. They're going to, you know, they're going to take away him running. You know, they're obviously going to focus on him because he was our big weapon last week. So I really want to see how he handles it, how Canales handles it, play calling wise. And then what does that do for the other players? Do we take advantage? Does Jeffrey Wilson, you know, hit a big run because they're focused on DeMarcus Smith? So those are things I want to, you know, see on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, and I guess for you, like, well, how do we know they're seeing that? It's like, is Jeffrey Wilson hitting right holes? Is he hitting them hard? Is he making decisive cuts, you know, and not dancing? I mean, he doesn't really do a lot of dancing. Antoine Jimerson kind of dances a lot, maybe some fumbles. But yeah, and like, so DeMarcus Smith, how is he? I mean, because he's still going to have to throw intermediate throws, short stuff.
Right.
I mean, just because we want him to hit more deep passes, you can't be, you know, rolling the ball in the dirt to Marcus Smith on a 15-yard pass. You got to hit him. You got to hit him in the numbers somewhere we can catch it. That's on him. I mean, he's had a full week plus of practice this week to work on that. Hopefully, he doesn't come out super excited. Like that's what Canales said that he did last time. And just to follow up on your point about Marshall keeping QB ratings under 100, it's 89.77, I think, is what their average is, the average QB rating.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. The game's at 2:30. I think we'll see a little bit more of this. You got your breakdown coming where you can see more of these numbers.
I don't know if I'm going to do one.
No, you don't know you're going to do a breakdown? All right, scratch the breakdown, guys.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, I have the numbers prepared, but when I was looking at the matchups, I mean, it's all Marshall.
Yeah.
You know, 29-point favorite. So is anybody really worried about me doing a breakdown? Probably not. They're going to say, you know what? Marshall's probably going to kick our ass. That's what they're probably going to say. That's probably what they're feeling. And actually, I don't know how many people are actually focused on this game. There's so much other thing, you know, the coach search, the athletic director, you know, those things are weighing down the program right now. And nobody's really focused on what this football team could do.
Yeah.
I want to say a positive thing. You haven't seen a lot of players. They haven't been on social media this week. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's very, very true. So, speaking about RV and the banner thing, if you're listening live, thanks for joining us. We have some people on here. So we're going to talk a little bit about UNT soccer in a second and play this interview. And then we'll get to the banner and to the RV thing, we'll talk about the new coach and a little bit about basketball. And then we have some Twitter questions. Thanks for everybody for submitting some questions. And we'll answer those. We'll talk about that in a second. But right now, I guess let me set this interview up. We're talking to Molly Grisham. She plays center back for your Mean Green soccer team. It's only one soccer team. It's not men and women, just one. Just one soccer team, and they're good. They're really good. This weekend they got a big matchup against Southern Miss. It's basically for first place in the conference. And then they follow that up on Sunday, Senior Day, against Rice. And you're like, oh, it's Rice. Are they good? Yeah, they're the ones. You might remember this from last season. We played at Rice, and you know, I was watching the broadcast, the Rice guy calling the game. And there was really, like, so the ball rolled out to our coach, and he kind of, like, tried to boot it back in play. And he kind of mishit it. And the announcer dude just went, like, berserk. He was like, oh, my God. That guy, he called him a prick. It was ridiculous. I was like, did he really do this? And somebody noticed because they pulled him from, like, the broadcast. You know, it was kind of weird and, you know, whatever. But more importantly, like, that was just kind of are they rivals? What's the kind of deal? They beat us in the championship game, the Conference USA championship game, to end it. That would have sent us to the tournament. Rice ended up losing to Texas 3-0 in the NCAA tournament. So it's a big matchup, not only because it's, you know, last game of the season, it's senior day, we're at home, but they're rivals, and there's like a bit of revenge to go along there. So I asked Molly Grisham about that, about her switch to center back, and I'm going to play the interview for you right now, as soon as I get it set up and queued up. Hey, Molly, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. I know you just got out of practice, so I won't take up too much of your time.
Okay.
First of all, thanks for coming on the show, on the podcast. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Well, all right, so first of all, you guys are like on a crazy run right now. You're doing really well. You got a big weekend coming up. You guys are taking on Southern Miss and then home for Rice. How are you preparing for that? How do you feel about this whole thing?
Well, I'm really excited. We've done so well throughout conference that we definitely want to go out on a high note. We're really just focusing on Southern Miss right now to make sure we get that win. If we win that game, then we for sure at least get a share of first place. And so that's just our main priority right now. It's a business trip. We're going to go in, come out with the win, hopefully, and then look forward to senior night in Rice on Sunday.
Yeah, about senior night. You're a senior now. You know, like, you want to go out on a high. Not only will it be senior night, but you're taking on Rice, the team that beat you guys in the championship game last season. How do you feel about that? Are you looking forward to getting, you know, like, revenge, so to speak?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I know the team is really excited, too. Rice is one of our top competitors in the conference. We play very different styles, and just like our formations and everything are different. So it's always a chess match, especially for John to prepare for that, our coach John, to prepare for that game. So it's something that I'm definitely looking forward to. But also, it's senior night, and that's really exciting as well. Hopefully all of our families can come and just kind of celebrate the years that we've spent here.
Is it tougher going to Southern Miss first, going to Hattiesburg, and then coming back for that Rice game? How are you preparing for that travel?
Well, the conference did us a favor by giving us the game at 3 o'clock. So we'll be able to fly out after the game that same night and be back in Denton resting and preparing for the Sunday night game.
That's good. So I think most people might know you, I'm thinking, I guess, the casual fans for your incredible goal last season against Vanderbilt. A golazo.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I was there, and I saw it in person. It was great that they got the video of it, and I think everybody shared it all over everything. I mean, so what was going through your head at that moment? And I know the ball just kind of squirted out, and you just, like, fired it in there. But were you trying to place it top corner, or what?
No, I was just trying to put it on frame. I got lucky it went in the top corner.
See, I think that's the point where you say, I do that all the time. I do it all the time in practice.
I know. As much as I wish I could shoot the ball like Carla, it wasn't all luck, but I definitely was trying to just put it on frame, hoping that it could even, if it hit the keeper, it'd come back out, just as long as I put it in that area.
Yeah, there you go.
It was really exciting, though.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty incredible. So,
thank you.
Yeah, I noticed this season you've been playing defense more. I think last season you played, like, defensive midfielder. You kind of played around a little bit. How's that change been for you? I know you played midfielder, like, in high school. I think that's what your bio says.
Yeah, I did. So I played defensive mid all of last year, and that was kind of my more comfortable position growing up. I had always played that position. And then this year, I made the transition to center back alongside Tess. And so Kelsey Hodges has always been someone that it's been easy to look up to and kind of like watch her and learn from her. So I had to just kind of think about that and not really learn the position. It's not that different than defensive center mid, but just kind of learn the discipline of the position and how defensive minded you really have to be. So it's been pretty easy though. I mean, John, he is naturally a defender. He was all throughout college. And so he's been a really good mentor as far as teaching me how to play that position.
Is, like, the biggest change, like, your mentality, like, how you have to play? Or, I mean, what is the biggest change from defensive midfielder to defender?
Yeah, it is a big change. I think about this a lot. I think at defensive center mid, you can work your butt off, and I think it really shows you can directly influence the pace of the game as far as how hard you're working. And then at center back, you have to really, really just play super smart and try to outwit the forward and kind of predict, I guess, what they're going to do so that they can't, you know, score on you. The stakes are a lot higher at center back, so I like the pressure of that. But I also really enjoyed being closer to the goal as far as scoring at defensive center mid. But I'm able to go up on those free kicks, so it's kind of, I get that too.
Yeah, I think you scored one off a free kick, a corner, right, this season?
Yes, sir. I did on Friday against Little Tennessee, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah, as long as you get a goal in every once in a while, keep center backs happy. It's all good, right?
Yeah, it keeps me happy.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, again, senior day coming up. Then you got a conference tournament. How are you guys feeling about the conference tournament? I know you guys want to take it one day at a time, one game at a time. But surely you kind of want to avenge last season's loss. I mean, how are you feeling about your chances this season?
Well, I'm really excited about conference tournament. Luckily, every time we've been there these past 4 years, we've always made it to the final. So I know for a lot of people, it's really great to make it to the tournament, but our main goal is always win the regular season and then go to the finals and win that and go to the NCAAs. So we're definitely aiming really high, but that's just the expectation that we set for ourselves, even from the beginning of the season with our sports psych. We sit down and we make goals for the season, and that's one of them, is to not only win the tournament but win a first round game in the NCAAs. So that's kind of what we're just looking forward to. But like you said though, you do have to take it one game at a time and really prepare, because the stakes are so high, you lose and you're out.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I don't want to take up too much of your time. Thanks again for joining us on the Mean Green Nation podcast. I'm sure everybody that's been a fan of the soccer team, you guys are really good. Good entertainment out there, at the very least. So good luck.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. Sorry, I started playing again. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Molly Grisham on the show. Thanks again to Molly, to everybody else that kind of was involved in getting that interview set up. Hopefully we'll get some more people on the show. Past, present, and maybe even, well, not future. I don't want to talk to any high school kids. But yeah, so they got a big game. Everybody show up. Go out there, it's senior day. Give them the love and support that they deserve. They're a winning team, like Greg said. I mean, they're good. If you like soccer, they play some good soccer. They got a little 4-3-3 kind of going. It's good stuff. So I don't think the Southern Miss game is going to be broadcast, but definitely the Rice one will be, because it's a UNT thing. All right, so let's get into it. We teased it earlier. The banner thing. What is the banner, you ask? Maybe you don't follow GoMeanGreen.com. That's probably for the best, because it can be really, really inside baseball. All right, so if you need the information, it was in the NT Daily, if you read that. But a couple of people got together and said, you know what? We're not being heard the way we need to be heard. So, hey, you guys remember we did that Go Mean Green banner for the SMU game? Let's get a couple grand together and have another one that says Fire Rick UV. And it's kind of torn the message board apart. It's pretty solidly anti-Rick Vireal or Villarreal on Twitter. So I don't know how you feel about it, oh listener of ours. But it's pretty much, people are like, this is going to embarrass the university, I don't want it. Or people are saying, I don't really agree with it, but I totally see why you're doing it. And I'm not going to tell you not to, and it's your money. And then you have other people that are saying, yeah, here's all my money, and let's get this done because it's the only way we're going to get listened to. What are your thoughts on it, Greg? And and Rick Vireo.
First off, did you donate to the GoFundMe account for the banner?
I did not, no.
I didn't either. I put that out there, but I mean, no. It was all taken up before I could get my money in. You know what can I say?
I had to get my piggy bank out and had to count out some pennies. I didn't do it mostly because I was just busy this week. But I guess, you know, if I want to get my position on it is, hey, you know, this is kind of what our great country is about. You can say what you want. You know, you can get a banner flight over the stadium, say fire the athletic director. You can do that. Is that the best use of your time and money? If you decide to do so, then yes, it is. Yeah, sure. It's your money. Yeah. You know, you're a citizen in this world. You do what you want.
I don't have any issues with it. I think that you look at it in two ways. There's the people. Obviously, it's good to see that there's people that are, you know, voicing their displeasure, and they're going to take it to the extreme because they're passionate about North Texas and they want to see us succeed. And they're not seeing us succeed under the current AD, so they want to see changes. And then you have the other people that are, you know, they love North Texas just as much as the other people, but they don't want to see anything negative be posted out there. You know, they kind of want to be the coddled group, the sheltered group out there. You know, this is North Texas, all good, rainbows and sunshine. And so it's good to see both of them. The bad part is, though, is that this whole athletic director thing has torn the fan base. Not really torn it, but our fan base is fractured, you know, for the most part. There's no trust. There's infighting between, you know, the hardcore people. And you don't want to see that. But getting back to the banner, I don't really have any issues with it. I mean, it's going to shed negative light on our university. Boo freaking who, you know? I mean, come on, guys. It's not really that bad. It's not that bad. I mean, is it going to be the, you know, top story on ESPN or Fox College Sports? Probably not. It might get, you know, like 20 seconds. It might not even make the news here. It's just because people just don't care. I mean, they're flying the banner from like 4 to 5. The game's at 6. So it's not like there's going to be a whole bunch of people in their seats anyways for the banner to see it. You know, you're going to have to be out the tailgating scene. I mean, the players, they probably don't even care about it. I mean, the students, they don't really, and they probably don't even know that much about it. So, I mean, I'm glad that people are finding ways to voice their displeasure. And the other people, you know, just chillax. Just chill.
It may be, I mean, I guess if anybody's listened to my other podcast, the Deranged Penguin podcast, little advertisement there. You can see that my sense of humor is, it just leans a certain way. And so I think this kind of thing is funny, you know what I mean? And I don't kind of get in a little hissy fit about, you know, appropriateness. And that may be just because I'm still relatively young. And, you know, I totally respect that, you know, most people, they come from a different time and they don't think that kind of thing is appropriate. Okay. You know, like I said, everybody has their own opinion, and they can express it. And this, I feel like this is an expression of an opinion. As a means to get the athletic director fired, maybe there are more effective ways, like, say, maybe donating a big pot of cash and saying, maybe you replace somebody else, and then here you get this big pot of cash. It's probably the most effective way. But
I've always found blackmail is an effective way.
I like blackmail the best. We got Todd Samuel says, students will be wondering who RV is. I mean, all right, look, here's the thing. If you followed any, like, Texas football in the past year or so, you know the whole Patterson thing. If you followed any of the Michigan things over the past, like, 2-3 years, similar thing with their AD. Big-time schools that take football seriously, take these kinds of things seriously, care about it, you know? They had similar things. Donors pull in their money. Infighting, as you say, some people staunchly supporting the athletic director, other people not supporting it. This is the kind of thing that happens when you have a program people care about. And I don't think that you can say that North Texas football or athletics has had the attention that, it could have had, that other schools have had, that we think, you know, we're inside it. We think it's a huge deal. But, you know, like I think somebody most posted on the message board today, that 66-7 loss, outside of the chuckles and the, whoa, look at what's going on here with this FCS team, not a whole lot of people cared. Like, it was not leading right. Sports Center or anything like that. What did we hear throughout the week? The only reference to our school was Chip Kelly, you know, kind of dismissing us, but he was kind of mostly referencing the movie.
Necessary Roughness.
There you go, Necessary Roughness. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, sometimes you got to get some of this kind of attention out there. I mean, if we want to take it seriously, you got to kind of have to do these kinds of things. It's the kind of things that passionate fan bases do. Now, should passionate fan bases resort to this kind of thing? Maybe not. That's a whole different question. But I guess, I said this before in the last post I did on Mean Green Nation, we're kind of in it, you know? Like, there's a lot of kind of moral quandaries about rooting for college football, the amateur status of the athletes. Should we support them the way we do? This, that, and the other. So we're kind of in it. You know, we can't take these moral stances, I don't think, because, you know, like, we're already making a lot of compromises with our best selves here, you know?
Anyway. Yeah. Here's the bigger picture, though, is that we have this fractured fan base. You know, there's some people that trust them. There's a lot of people that don't trust them. There needs to be a guy in position right now to lead us through this tough time, to unify us, you know, because everything has just been bad. It's just been months of just bad publicity, you know, bad losses, firing your coach in the middle of the season, all kinds of bad stuff. We need a guy that's going to lead us through this time. And right now, the fans, they don't trust the athletic director to lead us through this time. He can't do it. It's not possible. His only hope, and I put this on Twitter earlier, is that he hires the coach a la like a Mack Brown when he was hired. Their fan base was fractured. He brought everybody together. He brought the donors, more donors in, brought everybody together. That's what RV's hoping for. He's hoping that he can hit run hire that'll bring everybody together, that'll win a bunch of games, that'll draw the fans in, that'll take the pressure off of him. But again, you look at his track record, and I mean, it's not exactly stellar when it comes to hiring coaches. So, I mean, where are we at? Where are we at right now?
Yeah, I personally think it's time to reevaluate the athletic director position. That's a nice way of saying it's probably time to get him out of there and get a new guy in. I agree. I agree with everything you said. You want your athletic director to be unifying and not divisive, and he's real divisive right now. I don't think anything that he's done, it, you know, says definitely we should keep him. You know, he raised money, he got a stadium built, we won a couple, you know, we had some good things in athletics. You look at the soccer team, that's good. Does he get credit for that? Sure. But that's nothing to say you definitely get to keep the job. Some of that is, hey, that's part of your job, to raise money, to build athletics, to provide teams rent. The other part is to have winning teams and the revenue sports, definitely. And, you know, it's funny, I was reading, I just heard a lecture today about recognizing, you know, getting rid of employees that don't fit, or employees that are not performing well. Otherwise, you kind of hang on to them too long, and then you let it fester. I think that's maybe happening here. Like, that's why I kind of agreed with firing Dan McCarney in the middle of the season, because there's no point in having him around when, obviously, you know, things have been going south. Same thing with the athletic director. It applies to him, too. Things haven't been going well for a while. Basketball and football have been underperforming relative to, you know, the money we give them and to our status in the league. So let's get somebody else in here. Let's try something else. Try a new direction.
But the problem is that, you know, the time constraint that we're under.
Yeah.
And I was under the impression that RV was going to be forced out earlier in the year. Right? You know, after the SMU game, rumblings came about that, hey, this guy – you know, and this is a trusted source saying that, you know, that this guy's going to be gone. But then the football program started to tank, you know, really bad. And then you have the fact that, is the president ready to make two major hires in a hurry? Because it would have to be in a hurry. Your athletic director would have to be in here by the middle of November. And then basically his first day on the job, he's already starting a coaching search.
Yeah.
And that's tough, you know, and you guys that follow the NFL, I mean, I'm a Browns fan. And so this it feels and oozes like a Brown situation here. Their current coach, Mike Pettine, was hired by Michael Lombardi and Joe Banner. And after they hired Mike Pettine, Joe Banner and Michael Lombardi were fired by, you know, the owner of the team because of, you know, there was during the coach search, there was coaches that didn't want to interview because of those two guys. So I could see a situation where RV hires a head coach in football. The basketball team really suffers. The president then moves on and says, you're no longer here. You're gone. We're moving on from RV. And then now we're searching for an athletic director. And that guy's going to come in, and he won't have hired the football coach. And it just – it all screams dysfunction. It all screams like we don't know what the hell we're doing here.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't. We don't know what the hell we're doing. That's why the football team is in this position. Well, that's why we have the same interim coach that we had 5 years ago. And that's why the basketball team is, you know, underperforming from where Johnny Jones, hallowed be thy name, left us. You know? I mean, that was the thing. Yeah. Is it like I was coming up on some of these things. I was kind of jokingly tweeting about while we're getting our asses handed to us by Portland State about the good times in North Texas history. It's like, hey, remember the bowl game? Hey, remember this? One of the things I tweeted out was the time Texas Tech came to the Super Pit, and you know UNT beat them in overtime. Josh White hit a floater to send the game into overtime. We won in overtime.
All right.
That was great. I mean, we put a mural of that game. Me and the woman here, my wife, are on that mural, and it's great. I like going in and touching it. Like, remember the good times? Like, the stadium was packed. I mean, the Super Pit was packed. It was good times. I foresaw good times going, you know, we were getting to the conference championship game every season. I was like, that's where we need to be. We were where the soccer team is now. I asked Molly, she was like, yeah, it's great. We're doing all this stuff, but we expect to be. We expect to be in a conference tournament game. We expect to be in the finals. And it's great to have a team like that. That you look, you know, this team's going to win. They're going to put some entertaining games on. You're going to be entertained, and you're going to see quality, right? You're going to see them compete for titles, right, for championships. It's what Dan McCarney said was going to happen here in North Texas. We're going to compete for championships, bowl games. Why not North Texas? Everybody was like, well, oh, right. You could have just dropped the mic, walked off. You know, we would have donated all the money right then. But at some point, you got to follow it up. It's easy to say. It's harder to do, obviously. We all know this. We're all adults.
Right.
And we haven't done it. The basketball team, they had a cupboard full of groceries that could win, you know, that could make a tasty championship basketball meal. And we laid an egg, basically. It was awful.
Yeah.
And in the time since, not a whole lot has happened. You know, they are still, let's hopefully they get above 500. Like you said, I don't know what coach we get in here with this situation. Best case scenario, like you said, is that RV hits a home run, you know, like on a check swing home run, basically. and then, you know, maybe he just turns around and becomes the greatest athletic director of all time after this, right? He's taking stands, saying he's going to hire the guy, and he's defending his record to anybody, really, that will ask, in emails. I was privy to an email that where he defended his record. He was like, yeah, well, let me tell you what. You know, I hired this guy, and, you know, I stocked the soda machines full up, and they got the best tasting soda machines ever. You know, everything's great if you let him tell it. I mean, as you should, you know. Like, if you're writing your own bio, you're going to hit the high points. You're not going to talk about the time you stubbed your toe or anything. And, you know, and then he talked to Scott at the NT Daily and saying, you know, I did really great. Todd Dodge is the greatest hire that could ever been had at the time, considering circumstances. I don't necessarily agree with that, especially considering the results. I mean, he fired him. And also he says Dan McCarney was the greatest hire ever, you know, considering circumstances. But, you know, they did good things, but they also did bad things. Both coaches. As much as you love them as people and, you know, as much as you want to shake their hands, they both oversaw some really embarrassing times for North Texas football.
Mm. Yeah.
Really?
That's true.
Yeah. So
yeah, I don't.
You gotta factor that into the equation.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, he comes out and says, we want an offensive-minded guy, knows the lay of the land, can recruit. Goes on with the Go Mean Green guys last night, Harry, Evan, says, well, you know, we're just looking for the best guy now. So, and then you have the thing where, you know, he talks to the NC Daily and says one thing, that there won't be a search committee. And then he tells Vito there is a search committee. I mean, so at what point, what the hell exactly are you doing? I mean, what are we getting an offensive coach? Are we going defensive? I mean, because I tend to think that he wants to get offensive. I hope to God that he's thinking that way, because I mean, that's really our only shot. I mean, that's – but I don't know what guy – I mean, would Sonny Cumbie, who's close enough to us right now, I mean, what is he going to say about the situation? And here's the thing, is that they're going to say – a coach will say, "Hey, I'm kind of interested that North Texas job is open. You know, you're my agent. You know, go tell them that, you know, I'm kind of interested." And then it'll be like, you know, the agent's job to then do some research on that school for the coach. And, well, you know, maybe you might want to think about somewhere else. And I get the feeling that that's going to happen more often than not with the coaches that might show initial interest and then might pull back. There's guys that have said that, hey, you know, the North Texas job is kind of a toxic situation right now, so, you know, I'm not really putting my name out there. And then there's guys that have said, you know, hey, I'm interested. I don't really know how much they know about the situation. You hope that they're interested now and they're going to be interested later. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's only smart to do that kind of thing. I've turned down jobs in my own life where, you know, everything, the money, yeah, the money sounded right. Everything sounded right. And I got a little inkling at the culture of the place. And I was like, I couldn't see myself working there. I don't think I'd be able to succeed working at this place. We don't want to be that kind of place.
I can't work from home, so I can't work.
I need to have a chaise lounge. I need to be on there. Grapes brought to me every hour, on the hour. You see what I'm saying? Is that, like, we don't want to be that kind of place. Like, if you lose here, we want it to be because you couldn't coach football, you know, or it didn't work out or whatever. I don't like hearing that. It's kind of one of my pet peeves, Vito, like, describing things. Well, it just didn't work out. Like, no, it's not how it happened. It's more like, well, womp womp. Oh, well, let's go back to the drawing board. No, people made decisions. They were wrong or based on poor data, you know. People were responsible for these decisions.
Right.
That's what I want. And like you said, it's dysfunctional. Sounds like we don't know what we're doing. Sounds like maybe our athletic staff or athletic department needs to talk to our PR department. We've had some people that have graduated from North Texas that are some pretty good public relations people, and learn about getting on message. Everybody needs to be on message. It can't be like, you know what? It's going to be me hiring this guy, and let me tell you what, I'm the best hirer that they ever was hiring, you know? It can't be that. And it can't be, we're going to get everybody together, we're going to discuss it, and this, that, and the other. You know, you can say whatever. Just keep it the same message out there, and do what you're going to do. Make a good decision.
Obviously, you know, things first, if RV is going to be the athletic director for the rest of this year, and he's going to make this hire, then the president himself has to come forward and has to make an endorsement statement. That if there's one guy that can kind of set a tone right now, it's the president. He said, you know what? I support RV. I trust him in making this hire. He's going to bring the best candidate in, and I'm going to make sure that that gets done, and I'm going to make sure that, you know, absolutely the best candidate is chosen. You know, I'm going to have the final buy-off on the contract and the say-so, but RV's going to bring in our guy. You know, even though people would say, what the hell are you smoking, president, and all that good stuff, he still needs to come out and make that statement, because until he does, there's more dysfunction. There's more rumors that are going to pop up that, you know, there's a rift between the president and the AD, or the president doesn't like the AD, and all this kind of crap. All that's going to continue to pop up. So if I'm the North Texas PR staff, if I'm the president, I'm making some sort of statement, because the longer this goes on, the worse it looks.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? If we're going to say, you know what, we're not going to hurry this decision with the athletic director or the coach or any of this stuff, just realize, like, please factor into this decision that we're burning up, like, next year. You know, like, the time to get prepared for next year and down the line. I mean, I think there's some discussion about our rival there, UTSA, is missing a recruiting class, and now it's coming up to bite them in the ass, basically, because now all their depth is gone. And we don't want that to happen here. And I think our resident recruiting expert, Billy Sierra, on Gumming Green, and occasionally here on Mean Green Nation, he kind of mentioned that. Like, we don't have anybody out there. And, you know, you're gonna get like, the leftovers, you know what I mean? People that you're going to really need to find diamonds in the rough with a coach that comes in late. And, you know, you're basically saying, all right, we're going to give up on next year. And that's not really fair to the players in the program now. And but like you said, no one's going to want to come here when they're like, who's going to do the hiring here? Is the athletic director the guy that's going to shake my hand and say, thanks for coming, we really want you? Is he going to even be here next year? And like you said, or is it going to be the president? So, I mean, who is really making the decision? What kind of situation am I getting into? And is the next guy that's going to be here, if there is a next guy, is he going to want me around here? Am I going to be kind of on a, you know, like a shorter leash because of that? Like, what is the deal? You know what? I don't even want to do it. That could happen. And nobody wants that. Yeah. It's not good for anybody. I totally agree with everything you said.
Yeah. A lot of candidates we're looking at. You know, there's been the mention of, like, you know, North Texas wants that guy that's like a Chad Moore, is in his 40s, an offensive savant, you know, could really inject some energy. There's not a lot of those guys out there. the guys that are the offensive gurus that will inject the energy, they're like in their 30s, and they're young guys.
Yeah.
I mean, one guy that a bunch of people have told me would be a great fit at North Texas is Eric Morris. He's the offensive coordinator at Texas Tech. He's 30 years old. He's 30 years old. Yeah. But, I mean, tons of people have said, this guy could do it. I mean, are you willing to take that chance? Are you willing, if you're RV and the president, are you willing to hand the keys to the 30-year-old guy and say, you know what? Every Saturday at Apogee, we're going to throw a party, baby. We're going to score 40. We might give up 39. But, damn, it's going to be exciting.
I wouldn't do that. I mean, like I said, I think 40 is about the youngest you can go, right? Because, like I said, Major Applewhite is about 37. What's his face? At Texas Tech right now, what's his name? Cliff Kingsbury. He got hired there based on the Johnny Manziel train, basically, and in Texas A&M when they're going crazy. And he struggled a little bit in his early years there. I mean, it's fun to put up a lot of points until you're not winning. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I'd hire a 30-year-old kid as a kid out there coaching up people. You know, he's someone like, I mean, you got players that are still probably 30 out there, you know? There's occasionally you get like that 30-year-old player. It's crazy. All right, so we got some Twitter questions. I don't want to go too long without answering these because we, sir, are a populist podcast. Give the people what they want, and the people want to know. First question is, what does Tony Benford need to accomplish this season to keep his job? Now, I'm assuming that you meant by, like, the athletic director is going to can him. Jacob, thanks. Jacob Flores, 11. But I'm gonna ask this question from Mr. Greg Godecker. What would you can Tony Benford for? Is it a 16-win season? You're like, you know what, that ain't going to do it around here under your regime?
I think it's easier to start out by saying what Benford has to accomplish.
Yeah.
For RV not to fire him. For RV, I'm not saying by me. I mean,
RV first, and then you. So go.
Yeah. Okay. So I think he has to get to 18 wins, and he has to at least finish in the top half of the conference, and he has to at least get to the third round of the conference tournament. I think that's. That's, you know, the measuring bar. And I think that would pretty much be the same for me. I think that you have to show me that you can win 18 games, because not a tough schedule, not a tough slate out there. Mm-hmm. We should be able to finish in the top half of the conference. And this year, what, how many years has he been there now? Five? Four?
Yeah.
Fifth?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we may be giving him too many years. But
I agree
with
that.
Yeah. And then you got to advance in the conference tournament. This, you know, one game and out, that crap's got to stop. So that's it. You know, to have the winning record, 18 wins, you're getting close to 20, being top half of the conference, and show well in the conference tournament for him to stay.
I think that's good. I thought last season he had that same ultimatum. I thought it was going to be 16 wins, and I think he got barely reached that. I mean, we had some young talent. We got Combs out there. He's talented. We got Jermichael Reese, right? We got a lot of new faces this season, so who knows what that's going to be. But that's pretty much college basketball nowadays. It's going to be interesting at the very least. All right, second question from Robert Botts. How much will we be willing to money whip a coach to come to UNT? What do you think it'll take with our situation? Basically, like, what are you going to take to get a good coach in here? Is it going to be $1 million? Something like that? We're paying Dan McCartney, what, $750 plus bonuses?
I think it's going to be something. Yeah, I think you're going to have to go just a tad bit higher than what you did for Dan McCartney. You're in the ballpark, but if you really want money whip somebody, you got to get close to that, you know, say 900, 850, somewhere up there with the incentives. That definitely hits $1 million. If we want to get a prime time, like a Willie Fritz from Georgia Southern. I don't know. They were struggling earlier tonight against Appalachian State, but a lot of people had him number one. For him to come here and not go to or not wait around for a Power Five, I think, you know, money talks and $1 million would definitely get him to walk to North Texas.
Yeah, I mean, everybody got some mortgage to pay. Everybody has a wife, kids, you know. Actually, 200, 300 grand in your pocket goes a long way. A lot of things.
That's the one good thing is that, you know, we had Todd Dodge. We didn't pay him much when he first, you know, got here. It wasn't much at all. And then we significantly bumped up the salary for Dan McCartney. Then we gave him the raise. So if we continue to see the trend for $1 million, you know, we're getting close to it. I mean, there is a little bit of hope that somebody's going to take the money. And you hope that RV doesn't go out and give like $1 million to someone like you, Nut, or something, that the dude just wants a paycheck. Just doesn't even want to coach. He's not even going to recruit like a June Jones or anything like that. You hope to God that we don't do something like that.
Yeah, you want somebody that actually cares about what they're doing still. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think on the subject of pay, Mike Taylor, radio host in San Antonio and former UNT attender. I don't know if he graduated. I think he's an alum. So we'll give him some credit. He said, I took a look at the Conference USA you know, salary list, and it reminded me of that old maxim, you get what you pay for. Yeesh. And that's about right, you know? I mean, you want quality, you got to pay for quality. Everybody knows that. It's, you know. And that's not to say you need to break the bank and pay somebody $5 million. I mean, if you have $5 million, you know, I mean, yeah, sure. But you got to pay. You gotta pay for somebody good. You can't just say, hey, why don't you, like, do a pro bono coaching and get us to a BCS game? What do you say? You know, it's not going to work that way. I think we've exhausted our topics. We covered everything we wanted to cover. So, mission accomplished.
You know, there was one more question.
I think maybe I didn't get that one. Maybe
yeah,
you got that.
I think it was old Billy. Yeah.
What did he say?
He asked who starts at the five for the basketball team.
Yeah.
The five being the center position. I think they really want Ricky Bryce, the 7-foot kid from Pantego Christian High School, to be their number five. I don't know if he's necessarily ready, because a lot of times you get a big 7-foot guy and the skills necessarily aren't there yet.
Yeah.
But there's Jeremy Combs, and he's really the guy that you want running your four. But yeah, they might be forced to put him at the five. Then there's the Khalil Fuller guy. He's 6 foot. Eight, but he's a freshman. He could be your five. You know, they're trying to fill in somebody for the Colin Voss role as the five. And in Tony Benford's offense, though, a lot of times Voss was that guy making the jumpers. So if we're hearing the word that Combs is working on, you know, that jump shot, you know, that 15-footer, 15, 18-foot jump shot, and maybe they're going to try and run Combs out there early on as the five. So I think it's going to be a mix-and-match type of scenario until Bryce is ready. And once Bryce is ready, he'll be the five. But until then, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a guy like Combs come out and start at the five.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of time to kind of figure out who wants to take their job and make it theirs. So hopefully that happens. I don't want to say like I'm excited, but I mean I am. I'm always excited about UNT sports, but I mean I'm not saying I'm looking forward to it. Like, oh, this is gonna be a good one. We're gonna make the tournament, but I'm expecting good things, better than we had last season. I think we covered everything.
I'm not expecting better than last year. I'm expecting kind of the same. And it's just the fact that you can't rotate in 8 new players every single year. You can't do that.
No, you can't.
Yes, college basketball has its attrition.
Yeah.
With transfers, freshmen going pro. That's not really happening in North Texas. We're just losing guys, and we're bringing in a bunch of new guys. There's no sustainability. There's no, Jerry McCombs was a great guy last year, but we need some guys to grow through. If you're a smaller program, you should have 4-year guys.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can replace everybody when you have future NBA All-Stars and Hall of Famers coming through.
Right, and we don't have that in North Texas. We're relying on transfers, and to me, that's just not going to get it done.
I agree. That's one of the biggest criticisms I have of this program under Tony Benford. Hey, shout out to Jordan Williams, a 4-year guy, who's over there, and I think he's in, is it Chester or something like that? He's in England, and he's balling on people, and he's he's a fan favorite. So good for him, North Texas alum. One of the better scorers in our history. He's out there doing things. I think Colin Vall signed a contract, and we have a couple guys out there making some money, doing what they love, playing basketball in Europe. So, hey, there you go. Also, who else is Casey Obi, former football player. He's over there for the Portland, I think the Vipers or something like that, the AFL team. Arena Football League. He's a two-way guy. You have to be two-way guy. He's doing good things out there. Might get him on the show before. I think last time I asked him, and he said, yeah, he would, but he was, like, recovering from a concussion, this, that, and the other. I had to follow up with it. I know. I'm going to get some of these former players on here. We'll talk about it. Talk about things. Definitely during the down season, like during the summer.
Talk about things.
Yeah. Hey, man, how's it going? There's more than just the NFL players, right? Other people went to the program. You know them. You love them. And they went on. They're still doing what they love. So that's good. I want to give them some attention and thanks. So, don't forget, go watch the soccer team this Sunday. And if you can get a feed, watch them against Southern Miss. It's a big game. Go Mean Green. Going to score all the goals. Rachel Holden was the Conference USA Player of the Week. And Molly Grisham, she's a left back. She's number 6. So you wondering who that is. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Greg, you have any parting thoughts?
No, I think just, keep on keeping on. I know it's not a positive time.
Yeah.
And things don't look good right now. But all we have is each other out there as fans. Don't turn on each other. If worst comes to worst, we got to unite ourselves.
We'll need somebody to lean. Todd Samuel says there's a Marshall watch party at Fuzzy's in Allen. So go hang out with him. Y'all have a good time on there.
Fuzzy's.
Yeah,
Fuzzy's. Eat some tacos.
Always get some good tacos.
Yeah, so before
you interrupted me.
So we can all party together, and that's Todd Samuel there. He's throwing the party, so let's just party as North Texas fan base, and we won't invite RV, but we won't tell
him. This time it's gonna be somewhere else. Hey, yeah, we're at the Taco Cabana. We're in the back. Just look for us. Just hang out there. We don't show up on time. It's messed up. Yeah, I agree. What Greg said before I interrupted him is very true. We're all North Texas fans. Let's all be friends, right? Let's all have a beer together or a nice Coca-Cola if that's more your speed. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening again. Mean Green Nation on Twitter. MGN_breakdown is Greg on Twitter. You can email us. You're like, I got some hot sports opinions about this. podcast@meangreennation.com. If you want to contribute to the show, there is a phone number that you should call. And I think that's also on the feed. And I've given this out before. The podcast voicemail. Call in. 210-701-0763. Call in. Leave us your take. Have a take, don't suck, right? And I don't think anybody's ever said that phrase before. I think I'm the first one ever to say that. Do it. Call in. Leave it. It's a good way to, if you've got some hot sports opinions, you want to play them on. We play the good ones. It's our, like, filtering system. Is there anything else? We have that forum. It's a little quote-unquote forum. So that you can – it's mostly a commenting system, like I said. Please test it out. I appreciate all the feedback I've gotten on it already. And I think that's it. I think I said everything I needed
to say. Are you picking – the last thing, are you picking a win this week? First win.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and say they're going to win. They're going to pull an upset. We're going to win by a score. One touchdown. So I'm going to call it right now. I'm feeling good on this Thursday night. Greg, what is your prediction?
Marshall wins 38-17.
I wouldn't hate that score either. If we put up 17, 30. If they won 31-17, there we go. That'd be good. I'm calling it. Yeah, Sean, I'm calling it. All right, thanks again for the eighth time. Thanks for listening.